Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. With the coming of evening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind him, they took him just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with him. Then it began to blow a gale, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it was almost swamped. But he was in the stern, his head on the cushion, asleep. They woke him, said to him, "Master, do you not care? We're going down." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Quiet now, be calm." And the wind dropped, and all was calm again. Then he said to them, "Why are you so frightened? How is it that you have no faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him." The Gospel of the Lord. That story of Jesus calming the storm on the lake meant a great deal to the early Christian communities who found themselves in storms of persecution after Jesus had entered the sleep of death and on to the resurrection. And Mark, who's the first gospel writer, picks it up from the Christian tradition of those earlier disciples and followers, and he inserts it immediately after the collection of parables that we had last week about the kingdom. Last Sunday, you may remember, we heard about the parable of how the seed, Jesus, the sower of the word, goes on growing even when we're awake and when we're asleep. So the farmer's asleep and it grows on growing, and he's awake and it goes on growing. Well, now, Jesus, the sower of the seed, sleeps in the arms of total confidence, even through the storms of the night. He's almost saying he's backing up what he said about the kingdom in last week's gospel. So Mark puts them right there next to each other. But there are three things worth reflecting on in the story we've just heard, because Mark brings them out. First is the boat. It's a place where Jesus can be safe from the crowds, as it were. You may remember on another occasion, the crowds are so pressing on him, he gets into a boat, sets a bit off from the shore, and then speaks to them from the boat. But on the boat, as it crosses the lake, there's just the disciples. They can be together. Keep in mind, of course, that for many of the disciples, that was their workplace. They were fishermen. So a boat and fishing were a natural part of their lives together. So you can begin to imagine how the reference to the bark of Peter, the ship of Peter, becomes a popular name for the church in the earliest days. And that's why a lot of our churches, look up here, the nave roof is like an upturned ship. And the thinking, of course, symbolically is that if the floods rose so much and we were all inside, the church would upturn itself and float like a boat back to Noah's Ark. But all those images are what Mark's trying to bring out to us. It's safe. It's safe for the apostles. It's safe for us. Bark of Peter is safe. Then the sea or the lake. Is it a sea or a lake? They always call it the Sea of Galilee. It's only a large lake, as some of you know. But again, it's used in a significant way, because Mark sees it as a barrier. It's a barrier between two territories. On the west side, you've got the Jewish territory, and the other side of the lake in Mark's day was pagan Gentile territory. In fact, it used to belong to Syria. That's why we sing in the hymn before they took it, "Beside the Syrian Sea." But in 1967, of course, it was captured and it became the Golan Heights, that bit over the other Sea of Galilee. So in a sense, very relevant at this end, this part of the 21st century, even though it goes back as far as that to the time of Jesus. Because when the boat is available, the lake is no longer a barrier between the two, because they can cross from one side to the other. Otherwise, it meant a heck of a long journey round and, of course, danger in their time. And Mark mentions 6 times of the boat toing and froing from one side to the other. And he has Jesus performing miracles, 3 on each side. One particularly that we all remember and know, of course, is the feeding of the 5,000. That was on the Jewish side. And there is a church there called the Church of the Loaves and the Fishes, and there is on the floor by the altar there a very, very famous, in fact, if you light your candles by Our Lady, the dish that holds the tapers is of the loaves and fishes. That's where it came from. Very relevant, because on Tuesday of this week, some Jewish extremists caused, well, the report says, millions of pounds worth of damage to that church. And all inside on the walls were, in Hebrew, false idols will be smashed. That happened this week. It's not Muslim, it's Jewish, as I say, extremists hitting at that church. Some of us that went to the Holy Land, we were staying just along from there. We went to Advent Sunday Mass when we were there then. The last time we went, it was a different time of the year, but we were there, made very welcome. That's in a sense just an aside, but it reminds us that all the dangers and all the things that happened in the early church are around us in our own times. What Mark shows is that when they're on that side, on the Jewish side, then he fed 5,000 and there are 12 baskets of scraps left over. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. Whereas when he crosses the lake and goes to the other side, he feeds 4,000, and 7 was the number of baskets left. But 7, of course, is a complete number because that's the 7 days of the week, and that was enough of the pagan communities, in a sense, that number there. So Mark's saying that there's a right balance between the two sides, because this person I'm telling you about is for everybody. Jew or Gentile, all children of the one God, a symbol of the mission of Jesus and of the church to everyone. But we're beginning to see what's always been there, hidden away in different ways over the centuries, the persecution as well, which comes to the storm that happens on the lake. And again, when we were there a few years ago, it was one of those weird things. It was beautiful, calm evening, and suddenly it was just whipped up, and it was amazing. You thought the trees were going to... We were sitting by the edge of the lake, and you thought the trees were going to come down. It was so fierce, wild, and it lasted not too long, but if you were out on a boat, you'd have known about it. And so you can see that's part of what happens there. But that storm, Mark, when he's writing his gospel, the church was experiencing very stormy waters in the tension between the Jewish background and its worldwide expansion. The early church communities, of course, were just Jewish, and they went to the temple, they went to the synagogue, but they met in their own homes for the breaking of bread. But as Paul got on with his work and gathered more Gentiles into the community, then life began to change. But Mark, as the earliest gospel, they're still wrestling with that problem. By the time of Matthew and Luke and John, some of that's been not resolved necessarily, but tried to sort out in the different times. A few years, as you know, can make a huge difference. Notwithstanding all that, the storm, Jesus is out for the count, drained of energy after teaching through the days, is out for count on the floor, head on a cushion. And you could see the sleep of Jesus in two ways. It either represents the time of after his death, and that's the time we're in now. That's why he will come again is always part of the acclamations that we have at every Mass. But it could also be seen as, you don't need to worry. Because as soon as they wake him, he says, quiet now, be calm. And that's what the Lord's saying. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be anxious. Because with the sower who sown the seed in our hearts that you had last week, there's nothing to worry about. Let it go on growing. Let it take root in your hearts. Because the Lord is the Lord of who he is. There's that lovely psalm that's used at Compline. I lie down in peace and sleep comes at once. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. In all the storms that threaten us in so many different ways, we need to, and that's why it's given to us today, hear the Lord saying, quiet now, be still, be calm. Because we can answer the question, who can this be? This is none other than our glorious God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.